Tune to 106.1 FM, WSCALP Portsmouth. We are Portsmouth Community Radio. Please note that the views expressed on this program are those of the individuals who speak them and not necessarily of Portsmouth Community Radio, its Board of Trustees, members, volunteers, or underwriters. It's now time for the program titled Local Folk here on Portsmouth Community Radio. I'm your host, Steve Carrigan, and I'm bringing in people and events from the local folk music scene and beyond. And I'm here to learn and to help convey the different ways traditional folk is manifesting itself, and also to give you, my listeners, an idea as to how to involve yourselves in the diversity that is folk music and culture. And this could include digging into your own family history or perhaps attending one of the many folk dances or events around here, or maybe finding a good place to listen to live traditional music. You could reenact the past, perhaps, or use the past as a template for something totally new. And this program is a call to action in a lot of ways to involve yourselves, but don't be concerned. At first, all you need to do is keep listening now as I help convey the music and stories of my guests who are graciously here to share with you all a little bit of their personal histories and musical selves. Before I introduce my guest this evening, I have a few announcements, followed by the weather, community bulletins, and a word from our underwriters. Why don't we start with the weather? Boy, I just had a guest, Cynthia Chattis, a few weeks ago, who is going to be a featured performer at Jazz Mouth this year, which I think is really super cool. All right. Tonight I wanted to thank my wife for providing me and my guest tonight and his entourage with a wonderful meal. All right. Tonight's guest is here from the exotic and eclectic city of Boston, Massachusetts. Originally from Los Angeles, he studied the Illan Pipes with Dubliner Patrick Darcy, among others, and has since toured the world, spreading his unique sound wherever he goes. In 2009, he became an All-Ireland champion with his Illan piping at the World Championship of Irish Music. He's really quite young to have accomplished so much, and I think he's one of the people the older generation are talking about when we're referring to this new wave of young hotshot traditional musicians. Irish and American folklorist, professor, and musician Mick Maloney must have thought so, because my guest has toured with him as well. Taking time out from recording his new album up here in the Portsmouth area is my guest, Joey Abarta. Welcome, Joey.
Thanks very much. Thanks very much. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. Tell me something. Did you grow up with music in your household?
I grew up with music in my household, but not the kind of music that I play.
Not the kind of music that you play.
No.
Okay. You're originally from Los Angeles.
Born and raised.
Born and raised. Yep. In fact, what do they call somebody from Los Angeles?
An Angelino.
An Angelino. So you have to be from Los Angeles to know that word, Angelino. So you grew up in Los Angeles, and they had a set of pipes in the closet, and you said, "What's this, Mom?"
I wish. I grew up in a family of, now there's 9 kids. And Ireland was this far off and magical place where my great grandmother was from. She came over when she was 18. And when I was young, I was old enough to not go to the babysitter, but too young not to go into school with my other brothers and sisters. So she used to mind me. And I have a lot of fond memories of hanging out with her and her singing in the kitchen and making us breakfast and all that good stuff. But she didn't really like that much traditional music herself. She was into the popular music when she was growing up in America.
Right.
When she was 18. So the only song that I remember her singing me is, "All I want for Christmas is my 2 front teeth, my 2 front teeth." And there was one Christmas I didn't have them, and it was sung a lot. But no traditional music in my family. When people always ask me, what made you get into it, or how did you come into this?
Yes.
It's so particular. It's such a niche music. I say to them, it really found me.
Okay.
I was out of my mom's 7 sisters. Everybody used to go back and see our cousins in Ireland. And from my family, it was hard for us because we had so many kids in the family to do that. And everybody else was, a lot more well off than we were. Mm-hmm. My grandmother, who is one of the shamrock sweater, I love Ireland, kiss me, I'm Irish grandmas that a lot of us have and a lot of us love.
Yes.
And she's my number one fan and is so happy that I'm continuing this tradition that skipped 3 generations. She brought me back a Bowron.
Oh, really?
From Ireland, yeah. A Walton's Bowron. And I taught myself how to play a couple little rhythms. And I started going out to sessions. And that's when I met the man that would eventually take me on as his apprentice and work with me for 2 or 3 years, Patrick Darcy.
You see that? I just want to let those of you who don't know, the Bowron is an Irish drum that's played with both hands, and it also sounds like it's kind of like a gateway drug.
Yeah, you could say that. It was good because I heard a lot of the music before I started actually playing it, so it was somewhere settled down in my subconscious. And
you had the Irish connection. But you didn't really have the music, not in the same sense that you know it now. You didn't grow up with this music, but you still had the Irish connection that was happening.
There was an Irish connection, even though I'm basically a mutt.
Yeah.
My father's side, French, Basque, Sicilian, Spanish, Mexican, Native American. My mom, German, French, Irish, English, Swiss, you know, it's just a big mashup. But the culture that was in my household from my father's side was the Sicilian family. My great grandfather, who was my namesake, Joseph Scarantino, was a bricklayer in Rochester, New York when he was growing up, when he was my age, eventually moving out to California. My mom's side, because of the troubles and the war in Ireland, they fled and took up their American their newly American brothers and sisters and started a new life here. And the only person who played music in my family that I know of that I'm directly related to is my great great grandfather, and he played the concertina.
Okay, so
only was I presented with this concertina 4 years ago that was held in somebody's closet, my great uncle's closet, and finally brought down and said, "You're the only one who's taken this up in our entire family, which is very vast. He would want you to have this."
Let me play something for you here, just a little bit of something, and you could tell me a little bit about it. I don't think it's a family member, but I think that it's somebody that you hold Hold close, maybe. Let's see what happens here. It should start at any moment. Ah, here we go.
Yes, this is Patrick J. Toohey.
Patrick Toohey.
Yeah, or Patsy. Patsy Toohey, people would call him. And he actually is from South Boston.
From South Boston.
Well, after he moved here from Ireland, of course. He lived in South Boston for many years, and he was one of the very few handful of Illum Pipers that toured the vaudeville circuit.
So what I'm going to let people listen to this for a moment, and I want to just let them know that they are listening to vaudeville music. Hold on just a moment. So tell me something. When did you hear this? I mean, is this something that you heard and said, whatever is going on here, I want in?
Yeah, it was actually before I even knew what it was. My teacher had this collection of very old, that's either off a 78 record or a wax cylinder. There's a couple, but nobody would know if I played for you now. The same instrument, the same tunes, the same way. No one would know that this was recorded in the early 1900s. And the level of technical playing, the intonation, everything about it is perfect. He was a master of his instrument and also a left-handed piper, which
really?
Is very uncommon as well.
Did he just string it upside down, or did he?
Instead of the drones pointing that way, they'd point that way. That was basically it. Yeah.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Unbelievable. So this is something that you heard on a record and said, did you even know what, I mean, you must have known, because you had the Irish connection, you knew it was pipes. Or did you say, what is this instrument? What is going on here?
When I was going to sessions after my grandmother gave me a baron, I walked in, and one day, that's where I met the man who would teach me.
Okay. Tell me about that a little bit. Who was the man that taught you?
The man that taught me was Patrick Darcy.
And how old were you when you met him?
I must have been 16.
16.
15 or 16, I'd say.
And you had your bow run, and you were like...
And I played a bit of the tin whistle, but I wasn't really taking lessons from anybody. I was kind of doing my own thing, teaching myself. And I saw him at a session, and I said... It was just a sledgehammer. You know, it hit me. I love the sound of this. This is so unique. I want to do it. And I walked up to him and I said, can I try those on? I always tell people, at first he said, no. but he said, of course. And he took me into the back room, he strapped them on, and I made some terrible sounds. It's like a bag, it's like hitting a bag full of cats against the house. Yeah. That's what it was. And, you know, the first couple years of learning is very hard. But he said, come over to my house Monday.
Really?
And I went, and he would play these recordings for me. And that's when he began to teach me. And he never took a cent from me.
Well, that's great.
No, never took a cent from me. He's the reason why.
So he's the reason
he's
why.
He's the reason why.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it was
he's very modest about it, but he's the reason why.
Okay, but you
he unleashed this thing onto the world.
Well, there's a lot of people that would like to thank him then. I myself would like to as well. For those who obviously nobody can see what's going on here, and I want to say...
Which is very, very difficult.
Yeah, and it's difficult to describe the contraption that we're looking at that is the... Illum pipes, okay? And basically it looks to me like a bunch of tubes with recorder-like pieces sticking off of it, and it looks kind of like a combination. Well, it's hard to describe. How would you describe it for somebody not looking at it? It does not look like a traditional bagpipe in the sense that most people, when they think of a bagpipe, they think of Scottish...
The great Scottish Highland pipes.
The great Scottish Highland pipes.
Yep.
Those are for war. This is for peace.
I'd say this is for a party.
This is for a party.
Yeah,
okay.
I'd say this is for a party.
Send the Scottish to scare them away with the Highland pipes, and then for the after party, you can have the Illum pipes.
Yeah, that's usually how it goes. For the weddings or the funerals, it's always Highland piper at the service. at the party afterwards, it's always the Uilleann Piper.
Now, are they considered a more formal, the Highland Pipe? Is it a more formal pipe?
No.
Okay.
No, it's just as much as the folk tradition in Scotland, the traditional music in Scotland, as it is the Irish pipes in Ireland.
Which came first? You must know something
about... The Great War Pipes,
yeah.
The Great War Pipes now, they're different than the Scottish pipes, okay. And they're different than the Irish pipes.
Okay.
They had two drones, not three, and they were used for battle. That was it.
Okay.
There's a lot of different theories when I talk. I'm not a professor.
Yep.
I'm not a history
That's
major.
That's okay. Yep.
I only learn what I talk from people and what I like to read.
Right.
And the real stuff that I really like is little anecdotes and stories from people that I know who are very well learned.
Yep.
And some people say that they used to use the Irish war pipes on a battlefield to call different regiments to do different formations. Different tunes would be used for that. And of course, when marching over miles and miles, when you have a tune to march to, it's a bit easier, and morale as well.
I would say. I would definitely say. Now, does that have something to do also, for those of you who can't see, the Uilleann Pipes have a bellows. You don't blow into them. You pump them up with your elbow. It's like
a
bellows that you strap to your around your belly.
Right.
And it sits to the side, and you pump it with your elbow to
or
pump
Uilleann.
Up. Or Uilleann.
Which is the Irish word for elbow.
Okay, that's why it is the Uilleann. It's not because they're just so Uilleann.
They're just so Uilleann, man.
That's not why. It's elbow pipes.
Well, they say they're the safest instrument because they have a seatbelt and an airbag. So the bellows, one side straps around your midsection, and one strap goes around your right arm. So when you put your right arm out from you, it takes a breath, and when you push it in toward your midsection, it has an air tube connected to a leather bag that acts as a reservoir for all the air. And you have to manipulate that air into the various pipes. Now, right now, there's six pipes.
Yes, there's a lot
coming out.
Yeah.
There's three levels of sound to the Uilleann pipes.
Can you give us a demo of level one, for example?
I will. Okay. I will, which is usually the melody. And this is what a fiddle player or a concertina player or a flute player would play.
Okay.
So
that's very traditional.
That's
song,
very traditional. It's old. Now the second layer of sound would be what I would put in would be the drones. Now this is a long continuous note that goes underneath the melody. Now, the third level of sound, which not any other bagpipes have, are these keys that kind of look like some sort of steampunk piano.
Yeah, a bit like that, or
yeah.
Or registers on a saxophone, or
right.
A little bit like the
right.
Key, you know.
It's very elaborate key work. They're made to play fifths or chords, like a guitar would play along with you while you play it. Now, you have to put both hands on the chanter to play the melody.
Yes.
So what you use to hit those keys that lie across your lap is your where basically your hand connects to your arm.
Yeah, like the meat between your pinky and
right.
your wrist.
So
basically.
If you have the first level, second level,
outside of the realm of traditional folk music and people that are familiar with this instrument, you must spend a lot of time explaining to people exactly what's going on with this instrument. Sounds like you've explained it before.
Oh, yes.
You've demonstrated.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I've been to elementary schools. I've been to high schools. I've been to ethnomusicology seminars as a subject. at UCLA, at Loyola Marymount University, to show the instrument and the instrument, how it plays, the music it plays.
How it plays the music it plays.
Right. And from a musical perspective, what liberties they take with common Western thoughts.
Okay.
And...
For example?
Well, I don't want to get too into it.
Okay. We're not going to... Yeah, but, okay.
they have what I call... The Ilum Pipes have a musical poetic license. And because you're playing traditional music, there isn't a box that you're put in that Western music, let's say classical music, would put you in. So you have a little bit of leeway to move through, especially if you're playing solo.
Okay, I'm going to ask you now, normally I would have waited a little bit longer, but I'm going to ask you now to give us some of that poetic license and play a little something for us, if you don't mind.
Well, what would you like to hear? Something fast or something slow?
I'd like to hear something poetic.
Something poetic.
something with this poetic license that you speak of.
Okay, I'll play you something.
Yeah, quick.
This is a song air, or an air.
An air, okay.
Yeah. Now, this would be a slower tune. In the tradition of traditional Irish music singing, there's a ballad singing that the Dubliners, Tommy Makem, they would have been very popular with that. But there's also an older style of singing called Shan Nos singing. Shan Nos is old style, the old style of singing.
Shan means old?
Shan means old, yeah. And Nos means style. Excuse me. So, when you're playing an air, it's unaccompanied singing that you would be emulating. The song and the tune, you'd be doing the same thing. So I'm going to play a song called Astrol Mokri, which is a treasure of my heart. Just a little taste.
Yeah, that's an excellent taste. We are listening to... you are tuned into 106.1 FM WSCA LP Portsmouth. We are Portsmouth Community Radio. You're listening to the program called Local Folk, and I am your host, Steve Kerrigan, and I am here with Ilian Piper, Joey Abarta. And since he was taught to play the Ilian Pipes, he's traveled all around the world with his music. Do you consider yourself an ambassador of this?
No,
music?
No, not at all. There are pipers that are out there really acting as the world ambassadors for the instrument. Paddy Maloney would be one of them. The Chieftains tours all over the world and collaborates with all different types of music. I would be... just a purveyor of goods, in a sense, going where people would like to hear me, and meeting as many people as I can, because I like meeting new people, and I like traveling, and I love bringing this instrument sometimes to people who would have never seen it or heard it.
I mean, you must have been very distinctive in Japan. I mean, you spent time in Japan. They must not have known what hit them.
Irish music.
They love Irish music.
They love
in
Irish
Japan.
Music. I started the Ilian Pipers Club of Tokyo, Japan.
Really?
And we had seven members, all Japanese. I was the only gaijin, or foreigner, white person that was in the club.
How did you get invited over there? Because if you're playing, somebody said, hey, can you come start a piping club over here or what?
No. It's a really funny story. I went over. I was in service to the mouse, as they say. Tokyo Disney Japan hired me to play in their park for 1 year. I was on a contract. And
as a piper or
as a tin whistle player?
Okay, not as a Mickey Mouse or something.
No, not
okay.
As a Mickey Mouse. But I did teach a Goofy. I gave one of the Goofies tin whistle lessons every week. He's a Japanese man. Very tall Japanese man.
You gave Goofy lessons.
Yep, I would teach him in my dressing room every week.
Was he like, oh, thanks?
he barely had enough English to say thank you, but he loved the music. He loved
the music. Right. He's like, arigato.
Yep.
Yep. Unbelievable.
Yep. They love Irish music, and they give it so much respect.
So in your off time, though, you...
In my off time, I traveled, and I played for people. I would go from Tokyo to Osaka and Kyoto, taking the Shinkansen, the bullet train, all around, playing music for people that wanted to hear me, meeting people, teaching people. Just what I like to do.
But you've traveled all. I mentioned Japan because it seems exotic, but you've really traveled. Where else have you been?
I've been to the UK. I visited Ireland. I'm not going to say I lived. I visited Ireland on a couple occasions for 3 months. The last time I was there, I was only supposed to be there for 2 weeks, competing in the All-Irelands, the World Championships, and I ended up staying till one day of my visa, and then I hopped on the plane and flew back to the States.
I mean, you are considered a champion of...
Well, people like to use the word champion, but second isn't first, if you get my drift.
Oh, okay. Second is not first. You're a silver medalist.
Yeah, you could say that.
So you're sort of like...
Yeah, people throw the word champion around, then, you know, it doesn't hurt if you're first, second, or third.
Well, out of how many people? That's in the world.
Well, yeah, there's regional championships in Japan.
Yeah.
Let's start there. They have championships for inland piping in Japan. Regional championships, Australia, England, Germany, West Coast of America, Midwest, East Coast, South, Canada, even in some South America. There's
so,
Irish music everywhere
so
you go.
So out of all of these countries and places in the whole world, you're ranked number two?
Yeah, when I came home and showed the medal to my dad, he said, "What did everyone call in sick today?"
I mean, you know, that's nothing to sneeze at, you know. Number two, that's in the world.
Well,
and you know, apparently since you've been spreading it around the world, it's been spreading like wildfire. I mean, all right, I won't, you know. But
I tried
very
my
impressive.
Best. I tried my best, and I'm happy and that I had the utmost privilege to be judged by such great musicians, and to be able to have the opportunity to go and compete in Ireland. That is a huge honor, and I was very thankful for that. I would have been more thankful if I got first.
Then you'd have been like, I'm number one. Is that what
you're saying? You know, I was never raised with competition in my head. I was only raised to play music for fun and to have it. So when I went there, I said, they either liked me or they didn't.
Yeah.
And they did, because of what I think my style is very individualistic.
I want to play something that is appealing to you, you know? I mean, you brought in a CD with these tunes, and I want to play something else. What we played before was basically vaudeville music. There's a lot of different players on here that you brought in. Is there anything in particular? What do you think emulates your style, you know, better than any of the other ones? Or what is it that you like to talk about? If you were to talk about, you know, how you were influenced as a piper through one of these guys.
Well, when I started playing music, my teacher didn't give me any CDs that were being released in the late 90s or the early 2000s. He
okay.
gave me CDs of past masters. So they who have come, laid their mark, and had to leave, you know? And that's all I listen to. In the past 4 or 5 years, I dove really deeply into the different regional musics of Ireland. They're very specific. People put this huge, first off, they put this huge umbrella that's saying Celtic or Celtic music.
Yes.
And then but inside that, there are so many different styles in so many of the different countries. In Wales, they have their own music. In England, they have their own music. In Scotland, they have their own music. In Ireland, they have their own music. That's the first thing that people do. The second thing is they go, oh, just Irish music. But the music in Donegal is completely different than the music down in Clare. And I went myself and experienced and played with players and learned what made that regional style the best regional style.
Is there something, are there two different styles of something that you brought in here that you could use, that we could use to demonstrate that? I mean, it's fine if there's is not, but I'm just curious myself.
I would say we heard Patsy.
Yes.
In the early American piping.
So that's early American piping. Yeah. Vaudeville.
And now I think we'll play some Willie Clancy.
Willie Clancy. Excellent.
West Wind. And Sean Reed's favorite.
West Wind and Sean Reed's favorite. Yeah, let's do that.
A couple of great reels. Willie Clancy was the Piper of Clare.
He was the Piper of Clare. Okay, so now this is, is this more authentic pipe music?
It's all authentic.
It's all authentic. Thank you. This is Local Folk, and I'm your host, Steve Carrigan. I'm here with Joey Abarta, and we just listened to a tune called The West Wind by Willie Clancy, correct?
Yes, so the first reel was The West Wind,
okay.
And the second tune was Sean Reed's Favorite.
Sean Reed's Favorite.
By Willie Clancy.
By Willie Clancy.
Yeah.
And I noticed some things happening in there, some little... Tell me about the style. You called it a typical Clare style. Is that what you said?
Well, piping can't be put into any real region. But Willie's style was very legato or flowing or open, as we like to say in the piping world, an open style. Choosing spots to be very sharp and rhythmic. But usually the tune would flow really well. And also, as you could see, Willie didn't use any of the regulators, the car horns that usually accompany in rhythm and harmony. It was just the drones running and the chanter. The Willie Clancy Summer School is the biggest Ilum piping event in the world. Happens in Milltown, Mobley, and Clare. And
did he not use the registers just in those tunes, or was it his thing not to use them?
No, Willie could.
He could.
Yeah, he was a fantastic piper, but he also was a great whistle player too, and singer, and poet. It's
unbelievable.
You know, he grew up listening to pipers when he was a kid. That would be from the really, really old tradition.
Now, in contrast to Willie Clancy, we're going to listen to another tune quickly called Boil the Breakfast.
Boil the Breakfast Early.
Boil the Breakfast Early.
And the Heathery Breeze from Leal Rousam of the Rousams of Dublin.
Now, tell me what it is that we would be listening for in contrast to what we were just hearing.
Well, first off, the music would be a bit faster.
Okay.
Second, Leo also had a very legato style, but it was also a little bit more flashy. Willie wasn't a full-time musician, and Leo was. He taught full-time. The third thing is that he used regulators constantly. It was always accompaniment, always rhythmically driving. And these two tunes from him are a perfect example of fantastic mastery of the instrument.
Okay, once again, the name of these tunes?
The first one would be
Boil.
Boil the Breakfast Early. And the second one is The Heathery Breeze by Leo Rousam.
Here we go. Thank you. You are tuned in to 106.1 WSCA. We are Portsmouth Community Radio. You are listening to the program titled Local Folk. I'm your host, Stephen Kerrigan, and I'm here with my guest, Joey Abarte, who is an Illand pipe player. And we were just talking about his influences and the differences between different regional styles of playing. And we listened to a Willie Clancy tune that didn't use any of the registers, which are the, as he described, car horns that are on the pipes.
The car horn-like sounds.
The car horn-like sounds, which I find very appealing. I think that extra little dashes that you put in there.
I think it gives it a bit of lift.
I definitely think it gives it a little bit of lift. Now, what style would you consider yourself? Well, how would you consider yourself?
Oh, that's very hard. Okay. As soon as the first 78 was cut of traditional Irish music, the regional styles began to die. Which is a sad thing, but it's the way of the world, which is fine. But people didn't used to go a mile or two away from their house. They would just stay in the local vicinity, and that's how the styles would come, you know, and that's how the tunes would be cultivated there for years, and that's how they'd be separated. But now, because of recordings, I am a child. My generation is, right now, I could search on the internet, and if I wanted to learn Delta blues, I could go get a guitar online, get all the Delta blues records that I wanted to listen to, find somebody who specializes it, and learn it, and then go perform it if I was good enough.
Is that good or bad to you?
It's great, because some of this music that would have never been heard wouldn't be heard. If I didn't think I'd ever say it, but Riverdance was the reason why I started playing Irish music almost. It was because of its exposure, you know. Is all the music in there traditional? No. But is the dancing very, very traditional? No, not really. But it still was lifted up on a worldwide stage where everybody saw it and everybody was exposed to it.
Well, you're a younger person, so you, I mean, you're younger than a lot of people that I have on who grew up during the 60s, during the folk revival, and that's how they came to the music.
Right.
And when was Riverdance happening?
The mid-90s, I think.
Mid-90s, okay. Yeah. So it was when I was in college.
Right.
And yeah, I mean, it was a huge thing. Yeah. I mean,
I would have killed to be in the 60s, because all the people that I listened to, they were old men and women then. You could have still gone and played with them. That generation is gone.
Yeah.
That generation is gone.
If you'd known about them.
Right. If you'd known about them. But then again,
who's to say? But
exactly,
I know what you mean.
Exactly. My list of people that I want to meet and play with is dwindling. And the last person I crossed off my list was Barney McKenna from the Dubliners, God rest his soul. And
you mean you had to cross him off because you couldn't play with him? Or
right.
Boy, that's a yeah. This is just very recent.
Yeah, boy. Yeah. So it was.
Are you a preserver of the tradition, or are you an adapter? Or
Steve, I wouldn't label myself anything. I go by a very straightforward. I'm a very simple man, and I go through very straightforward things. And the thing that I tell everybody is, if it's not broke, don't fix it. What business do I try to make something better that's been around before me, before my father, before my father's father? If it was good enough for them, and it was good enough to dance to, it's good enough to play now. And that's why I go so far back to get all of my music. All these people I'm playing for you, you know.
What's happening in the future for you?
What's happening in the future? Coming up, I'm playing with a up-and-coming young person's group of traditional musicians called Old Hearth Music.
Old Hearth Music.
At NEFA.
At NEFA, hey!
Yeah, at NEFA, and you just had your show on NEFA,
I just had an hour and a half about NEFA. Hey, if anyone that gets the chance should go down to this NEFA, I'm going to be down there.
Right.
And it seems like an incredibly exciting thing to be happening. Tell us about your part in NEFA this year.
Well, I'm a relatively new arrival to Boston and Massachusetts. And somebody told me I should apply to perform at this. And I know a great band, a quartet from Boston, all up-and-coming young musicians called The Ivy Leaf, who actually just came out with their CD. Check out theivyleafmusic.com.
Theivyleafmusic.com. Yeah. Okay, great.
And the four will be performing with me. So it's Illan Pipes, concertina or squeeze box, fiddle, bouzouki, vocals, flute, vocals. And then we have two wonderful Shannos dancers, which is like the great grandfather of the competition Irish dance. You know,
yes,
it would be the grandfather of tap almost, going back that far, clogging the whole nine yards. Very playing all traditional tunes, playing all traditional songs. We're playing from 9 to 10 on the Saturday of NEFA.
That's what I was going to say. What time and when? 9 to 10 on Saturday. This sounds like a massive ensemble.
Well, it takes me back to the bands coming out of the 1960s folk revival in Ireland. The Bothy Band, Planxty, we were talking about earlier. And mashing the traditional songs with the tunes together. It should be great. It's gonna be very educational for people who kind of like Irish music but really haven't listened to it much before, or who like Irish music and want to hear more of it.
This is what I hope my listeners get out of it, out of this program, sure, is that I understand that a lot of the people that are listening to this program right now may have no idea what Illan Pipe is or anything like that. And so, you know, we want to introduce them to it. And then, like I said before, take some kind of call to action. Go down to NEFA. Everybody volunteers to do that. Go down, check that out. Or go down, I don't know, even to the press room on a Friday night when they're doing the traditional music down there. Or tonight, Oran Moore is down at the, I didn't do any kind of musical calendar. Tonight, Oran Moore at Rerah,
yeah,
always on Monday nights. You know, go out and hear things that are happening and, and get it. I think that you're going to catch the bug just like a lot of us do. You have a website. Tell me what that is.
I do. It's www.mynamejoeyabarda.com. Very easy.
Joeyabarda.com.
And that has a list of all the solo concerts, duo concerts, and playing with the Green Fields of America with Mick Maloney off and on. And that'll be up there as well. The reason why I'm here and the reason why I'm talking with you today, Steve, I'm recording a CD.
Excellent.
And I couldn't ask for a better place, a very inspirational place New Hampshire is, and especially near Portsmouth. And I'm very lucky to be able to come here and have people who support me to get my record together, because it's been on 5 years, and I think now it's time to get it done. So in the next couple months, I'm going to be doing that. And when that's done, I'm going to be all of New England, Midwest, Northwest, Southwest tours.
You're going to be going
just
everywhere.
Going on my own and playing my music and putting it in people's hands if they want it.
You know, I just have to say, I know that you're recording down at Mill Pond Music Studio, and I've done some recording down there as well, and I think that it's a great place to record.
It is.
In my own opinion, can you play something that you might consider putting on an album, that you're considering putting on this album?
I can do that for you.
Please share that with us. I would love you to play us another thing. If you want to tell us anything about it, you're welcome to as well, but at least play it for us.
I'll play you two jigs. The first tune is a very old version of an old march called the Butcher's March, and it comes from Tom Billy Murphy, and I got it from a great concertina player in Boston named Dan Accardi. The second tune is also another march, but made into a jig, which is a dance tune, called The Highland March from the opera Oscar and Malvina, printed in the first Illan Pipe Tudor by O'Farrell.
Okay, just to get this straight, the second tune is a march turned jig from an opera.
Right.
Okay.
From the late 1700s.
Just wanted to be clear on that. All right. Here we go. Programming on Portsmouth Community Radio is made possible with the support of our listeners and Three Bridges Yoga, a welcoming and non-assuming yoga studio for all levels of yoga practice, located at 185 High Street in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, on the web at threebridgesyoga.com. It's yoga for every body. You're listening to Local Folk. I'm Steve Carrigan, and who you were just listening to live here in the studio is Joey Abarta, who is up here in Portsmouth making a CD up at the Milpon Music Studio right here in Portsmouth. He just played us two tunes, one of which was a march-turned jig from an opera.
Yes. Well, the first tune was an old clan march turned into a jig. They just happened to be in triple meter. And the second tune was, yes, it was an old march written for an opera in the late 1700s that ended up in modern Irish traditional session repertoire.
Unbelievable.
And they still play it today.
Well, you know, Joey, thank you very much for coming up here and sharing this with us. We're going to have to get going now. We have the award-winning Under the Radar coming up next. The theme tonight is drugs. So, you know, put your tie-dye on and get ready.
Turn on, tune in.
Right, turn in, tune on, tune in, turn on. Just turn it up anyways. Under the Radar is coming next. Joey, thanks for being here.
Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate
and,
it.
And, yeah, we'll have to have you up when the CD's done or something like that. I really enjoyed you explaining all of this to us. If you have any questions, you can contact me at scarrigan, S-C-A-R-R-I-G-A-N, at WSCAFM.org. You can go to stephencarrigan.com. There's a tab for local folk there. And you can also find me on Facebook, Steve Carrigan's Local Folk Radio Show. Up next week, we have Charlie Ipkar with some maritime music and a few other things. But until then, thank you very much for listening to Local Folk.